Good evening. So we're looking at the back page of the packet which you have. It's a Gemara page. Okay. So yeah. On the front it says understanding the Talmud. That's the title page of the book from which I took a lot of the instruction pages that are within this booklet. And then the back page is a photocopy from the Talmud, and it's the Gemara in Makos, page 12, also known in Yeshiva language as Vav Amud Beis, 6b. Okay, so just to summarize what we've seen, and to remind you, we have been focusing on finding the punctuation pauses. Because without knowing where to stop, you can't navigate the Gemara at all. You have to look for the clues and cues that tell you where there is a comma or a period or at least a pause, so that you can then work. I don't want to say work backwards, but then you can work to try to navigate if it's a one word phrase, a two word phrase, a three word phrase that needs to be translated and work through. To understand the dialogue that the Talmud is presenting, because it's always a dialogue, it's always a conversation. The Gemara is asking a question, it's giving an answer, it's bringing a proof, etc. So we left off up to the word elema, and we're going to look at that in the packet where the word elema is explained. So I just want to quickly review what we were up to, so that everybody is at least up to speed. So the Mishnah, which is the middle section here, it was the main text here. That's the Talmudic passage. Okay.
I'm crazy. It's a different page.
No. That's it. That's the one. That's it. Okay. It has a big. It has a little 12 on the top right. It has a little 12. It has a little 12 at the top of the page.
Okay.
In the middle of the page, it says Perek Rishon Makos. Okay. The Mishnah is the first 9 or 10 lines of the page, and it talks about a case when there are different witnesses seeing an event, and whether they combine in order to become one group of witnesses. And a group of witnesses who would testify together in court in order to convict the criminal who is responsible for the crime that has been committed. And that is the question which the Gemara attempts to resolve in terms of understanding the difference between if there are two witnesses in one spot, if there are two witnesses in a different spot, whether they combine. Or what happens if there is one witness over in one window, and one witness in a different window? Whether they combine, and how you go ahead and figure the case out based on the witnesses, and the assumption is based on the verse from the Torah that the Mishnah quotes, just to point out how you find out where the verse is. So if you look in the little column. In between the Gemara, right here, I'm pointing it out for those of you who are not remembering where the Torah or is, or if this is your first time here. So look at where I'm looking. I don't have a whiteboard, but I can hold up my page. So over here, where I'm pointing, right in the top of the little margin between the Gemara's text and the text of Rashi, which is on the left side, there's a little two-word phrase there, which says Torah or. And Torah or is the Gemara's way of showing us that everything that follows in this margin, if the Gemara's lines get wider as it does about halfway down the text of the Gemara, if there is another quote from a verse in the Tanakh, then that note would be on the side here. There doesn't happen to be one on this page, but very often there is. So if you look where it says Torah or, and you look down about eight lines or so, you'll see in Rashi's script it says Devarim Yud Zayin, Devarim Yud Zayin, and that shows us that there's something in the Gemara, or in that case in the Mishnah, which is a quote from Devarim, the fifth book of the Torah, chapter Yud Zayin, chapter 17. And how do we know where that is in the actual text of the Talmud? If you look along that line, you'll see a circle halfway through the line. And that circle, in that little circle right before the word Alpi, that little circle is basically, it's like a footnote. It's saying, this is a verse, it's about to follow the next few words. And if you want to know the full context of the verse, you want to know the full content of the verse, go to Devarim chapter 17, find it, and you'll know everything. Okay, that's you'll certainly understand the context of the verse and the full verse. Because the Gemara doesn't always quote the full thing. The Gemara just quotes the part that it needs to make its very specific point. Okay, so that's the Gemara. So the pasuk there is Alpi Shnayim Edim. Alpi Shnayim Edim, which means that it's based on the mouth, or based on the testimony of two witnesses. And we're all familiar with this. Anybody who's ever been to a Jewish wedding, you need to look no further than there. What takes place under the chuppah with the giving of the ring, the number of witnesses that sign the ksuba, for example, it's always two. And that's the way certainly documents, you have to have a minimum of two. Could you have more? You could have more, but for a document, we don't usually insist on more than that. But for anything, you have to have at least two witnesses in order to, if it's a criminal case, in order to convict to the full extent of the law. So when the Gemara goes into this question, the Gemara says, and I'm going to read through the first three lines of the Gemara a little quicker because we've been through it before, but let's take a look. Amar of Zutra Bar Tuvia. Okay, everybody see where it says big letters Gimel Mem? The big letters Gimel Mem, it's two lines below where that Devarim Yud Zayin thing is. It says Gimel Mem in big letters and then an apostrophe. That Gimel Mem stands for Gemara. Everything up on this page up until that point, if you look at the very first word in this Gemara text, it says Mem Tuf Nun Yud. That stands for Masnisin, which is the Aramaic format of the word Mishnah. And the Gemara is made up of Mishnah and then the commentary, or I should say the Talmud is made up of Mishnah and Gemara. It's the Mishnah and then the Gemara, which is the commentary on the Mishnah, or the expansion of the conversation is raised in the Mishnah. So the Gemara here is going to be addressing that which was discussed in the Mishnah, in this Mishnah, which is on this page. Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia Amar Rav. Rav Zutra, the son of Tuvia, said in the name of Rav, Minayin le'edus miyuchedes shehi psula. How do we know? So for those who haven't been here before, if you actually open up this package for a second, and you go to the page which is numbered, the numbered based on the pagination of the book from which it's photocopied, you'll see it's page 74. So on the bottom of that page, it says Minayin. Okay, and the explanation from Rabbi Feigenbaum's book, Understanding the Talmud, is Minayin, from where? It introduces an information question, usually concerning the statement that follows, and generally it's asking for the Torahitic source of that statement. I'll qualify and say Torahitic, that means from the five books of Moses, but sometimes a source for something will be a verse from the rest of the Bible as well. So the Torah Or, even though it's called Torah Or, it's really meant to to reflect a quote from any of the 24 books of the Tanakh of the Bible. So the answer is often introduced by the words Talmud Lomar, or in our case, as we're going to see, it's Shenamar. So when Rav Zutra asks the question, he says, Minayin le'edus miyuchedes shipsula. How do I know that edus, testimony, miyuchedes, unique, meaning coming from echad, from one person, the word miyuchedes has the same root as the word echad, shipsula, that it is not accepted? Shenemar. Okay, so the word Shenemar introduces to us a quote in this case. What immediately follows Shenemar? Don't tell me the word. What immediately follows Shenemar? A circle. And that circle tells us that we're about to see a quote from a pasuk. And where is that pasuk from? Look to the left, look to the margin, where you see the word Sham. Sham means there. In academic language, it might say Ibid. Right? What does Ibid mean?
Same as.
Right? Same as the previous quote. So Sham means over there. Where is there? Dvarim Yud Zayin. So it's actually, I think it's actually the same verse. Api Shnayim Edim Yumas Ameis Lo Yumas Api Eid Echad. That based on the testimony of two witnesses, somebody can be put to death. But Lo Yumas Api Eid Echad cannot be put to death based on the testimony of one witness. Okay, how do I know where that quote ends? Well, what I should be doing, I'm being a bad boy, but what I should be doing is, I should also have a Chumash with me, or a Tanakh with me. You should have a Bible when you're studying Gemara, so that when the Gemara tells you where to go, you open up the Chumash, you find it, and you know, based on just checking the verse versus the actual verse, meaning the quotation of the verse in the Talmud versus the actual verse in the Chumash, where the quote of the Chumash ends in the Gemara. So I happen to know this, so that's why I tell you, it's lo yumas al pi eid echad, that a person cannot be put to death. In other words, the criminal cannot be put to death based on one witness. And because I know that the word echad is the end of the quote of the Torah that the Gemara is giving us, so I know that that's the end of the quote, and that whatever is going to follow is going to be the next phrase.
The tochen is not enough.
It's not enough. It's not enough. That's why you have to look it up.
Okay.
Okay. That's why it's always a good idea to look it up. I said before, I'm being a bad boy. What I really should have done is photocopied for you the page of the Chumash. I didn't do that. We could all take a Chumash off the shelf, but I don't want to waste our time. The point is that hopefully after getting the tools, this is the type of Gemara that on your own you would want to try to work through again and see if everything that you've picked up here can help you navigate getting through the text on your own. Okay, so the next word is my. So I mentioned last week, let's say you don't know what the word my means. The word my happens to, it's the same as the Hebrew word ma. What is the Hebrew word ma? Okay, exactly. So my. But let's say you don't know that, so what do you do? So you have to open up a dictionary such as the one which I hold in my hand, which is the Jastrow. It's a Talmudic dictionary. It is the most comprehensive dictionary you will find on the Talmud, and you open up to the Mem section, and you get to Mem Aleph Yud, and he says the following, my, what, or why? And he gives a number of examples, quoting passages from the Talmud, where you have the word my being utilized, and he just shows, and basically in every single one, it either means what or why. So here, you could actually use it however you want. It can either be what or why. But the question that the Gemara asks is, my echad. Now, how do I know that's the end of the question? Okay, right, because, so two things. Number one, no pun intended, number one is that echad is a repeat. Okay, and we've talked about this every single week. When the Gemara repeats a word that you've seen before, it means that it's addressing that word. So sometimes the repeat is a couple of words long. We saw that in the Mishnah. I mean, we didn't look at it today, but we saw that in the Mishnah on the first two lines of the Mishnah. If you just take a quick look at the first two lines of the Mishnah, the top of this Talmudic text, you'll see Hayushnayim roin oso mechalon ze ushnayim roin oso mechalon ze. Did you hear the repeated phrase? So the repeated phrase indicates that there's a pause in between them and that the Gemara is introducing two ideas which are related with the Mishnah in that case. So here when the Gemara asks, my, echad, so echad is a repeat from what we just saw from the verse, and so the Gemara is asking, what is echad? What is echad? Now we know what the word echad means, but let's listen to the verse for a second. Okay? Al pi shnayim edim yumas hameis. Based on the testimony of two witnesses, the person should die. Lo yumas al pi eid echad. He should not die based on the testimony of one. Okay, what's the question?
Why not
really? I'll give you a hint. The Torah is not supposed to waste words. Okay, now let's ask the question. Based on the testimony of two, he could put to death. You cannot put to death based on the testimony of one.
It might be lying.
What?
You might be lying.
Okay, so that's an explanation for why it can't be one. But let's ask a simpler question.
Emphasis?
We just said that you can only put to death based on
Two, what's the implication?
Logically, that one, you can't do it.
Right, it's logical. We don't need, you don't need the pasuk to tell us that you can't put the death based on one. You just told us that you can only put the death based on the testimony of two. So that's the Gemara's question. Gemara says, "My echa, what are you telling me about one? Once you tell me two, only two, two is the minimum. You can't have fewer than two. So why are you telling me about one? I don't need one for." So the Gemara is asking, "My echad, why do you have to give me this whole?" So, and this is the way the Gemara works. When the Gemara asks, "My echad,"
maybe one of them wasn't good.
Okay, we can start analyzing, but let's understand the Gemara's question first. "My echad," right? Echad is a quote from the pasuk. So what the Gemara is saying is, what is this business about one? So now I'm showing you what the Gemara is really asking. And this is where chavrusas start punching each other in the face. Okay? Because they have to start figuring out, what's the Gemara's question? I think the Gemara means this. You're an idiot. I think the Gemara means this. And that's why Beis Medrash is completely animated, because people who really get into this stuff, they start fighting over the nitty-gritty of what the question is. What's the Gemara's question? My echad. What does the word one mean in the pasuk? What are you telling me about one witness? I don't need to know about it. The pasuk already told me. My echad. So now the Gemara is going to use a formula. So I know that that's the end of the phrase for two reasons I mentioned before. One, because echad is the end of the quote from what I just read before. Mm-hmm. The other one is because of the introduction of the word ilema. Okay, so what is ilema? So now let's open into our package here again. Go back to let's see where it is. It's the page that is numbered 15 in Rabbi Feigenbaum's pagination. 15, it's at the bottom of the page. You have it. Yeah, look, it's numbered 15 up here. 15. Okay. There are only 12 pages in this package, so it's the one that says 15 on the very top. Okay? And I just, for your information, I gave these to you, I think, in the order of the way things appear. Maybe I didn't. I'm not sure. Okay, anyway, ilema. Okay? Let's take a look at what he says. Ilema introduces an answer to either an attack or an information question proposed rhetorically by the questioner, knowing that it can be refuted. The purpose is to strengthen his question by showing that what one might have proposed as an answer has already been suggested and rejected. Now, we haven't gone through that exercise. We haven't tried to figure out what, in fact, the Torah is teaching us through mentioning this seemingly additional phrase of lo yumas al pi edecha, that the witness, that the criminal can't be put to death based on the testimony of one. Let's continue, Rabbi Feigenbaum. When you see the word ilema, you know that you have reached the end of the question and that the proposed answer begins immediately afterwards. Okay, so ilema is going to be a proposed answer, but it's going to be rejected. It continues until you reach one of the question words, such as v'ha hatznan hatanya. Now, what is Rabbi Feigenbaum doing for us? He's giving us a hint as to when at least there is going to be a pause within the next line or two that's going to be precipitated by one of these kinds of code words that tell us that there's another answer that the Gemara is giving. And they signify the beginning of the attack, which will refute the proposed answer. In order to understand the exchange clearly, it is important first to stop at the end of the question and consider what it is attacking and how. So that's my job. I'm going to show you where the break ends. Again, it's all about punctuation. Okay, the real key to navigating the Talmud, first and foremost, is punctuation. Once you have punctuation, then you can figure out, meaning punctuation of the, in other words, the commas, pauses, etc. Then you can figure out the vowels. Then you can figure out what's a question, what's an exclamation, what's an attack. But you have to know where the phrases begin and end. So that's where my job comes in. Only then should you read the proposed answer and consider how the proposed answer would have answered the question. After the proposed answer is clear, one may read the attack that refutes the proposed answer and understand why it is being rejected. Note that while it should all be charted as part of the original attack question, it is nevertheless important to divide it into its various components. Okay, now,
why do I read through this entire thing, aside from the fact that we need to understand what Ilema is doing? It's a reminder that the Gemara might say in two or three words something which, when we're working our way through it, we might translate it into a paragraph of talk in order to understand the question or the statement or the answer in its entirety. Okay? There's a lot of filling in between the words. That's the important thing to remember. Okay, so let's go back to the Gemara, and let's see. Okay. All right. So remember everyone remembers the question. My echad. Why does the pasuk tell us about the rule of one? Who cares? We already know it from the rule about two. Ilema, if you're trying to say, Eid Echad Mamish, Eid Echad Mamish. So how do we know that that's a pause? That's a good question. I'm not sure how you know that. You just have to know, you have to know Hebrew, I guess. Eid Echad.
Truly one Eid?
Yeah. Yeah, if you're trying to say that it means truly one aid, meaning that we're talking about a situation where there is only one witness, if you're trying to say that the word echad means a situation where there's only one witness, so do we need that? Do we need this phrase? What's the Gemara saying? The Gemara saying, if you're what do you think is going to be the rest of that statement that the Gemara is going to make? I'm going to put this out there. Okay, let's see if we could think like the Talmudists. If you're trying to tell me that lo yumas al pi eid echad, that you don't put anybody to death based on the testimony of one witness, means one witness, that there's only one witness in the whole story, and there's one guy. So what do you think? Again, remember, Ilema, the first answer that the Gemara is going to propose is going to be rejected. So how are you going to reject that? The answer was basically what the answer of Ilema is. Basically, you're trying to tell me that what the verse is saying is that if there's only one witness altogether, that guy is no good. Okay, well, what's wrong with that answer?
It could be.
We already know that. We already know. How do we know that? Because it says it in which part of the pasuk? The first part of the pasuk, and that's what the Gemara says. Mireisha. Reisha is like the word Rosh. That's an Aramaic word meaning the beginning. Okay, or the first part. Right? Bereshis means in the beginning. The Rosh. What was Rosh Hashanah? The beginning, or the first part of the year. So, Mereisha Shaminanla. What is Shaminanla? What's the root in the word Shaminan?
Shema.
So, from the first part of the Pasuk, I already heard it. I already know. So that's how the Gemara is following the format of Ilema. If you're going to tell me that the reason for mentioning one witness is to tell me that one witness is no good, well, thank you very much. We already know that from the first part of the puzzle. Okay? So then what's the next answer? Mireisha Shamin in law, al pi shnayim edin. Okay, so again, that's a quote. So we know that. That's a repeat. We've already seen that one. That part of the pasuk was quoted in the Mishnah. And if we were good Talmud students, we would have a Chumash open, and we would look, and we would see that it's right before, that it's in the pasuk. Ela my echad. Okay? So now, Ela. Ela is a word that people should be familiar with, but if you're not, Ela is a... Ela means rather. Rather what? Rather what? So it's repeating the question. The question before was, my echad. What is echad? Ilema, if you're going to say it's trying to teach me that one witness is no good, thank you very much. I already know that one witness is no good because the pasuk told me it's got to be two witnesses. So the Gemara says, all right, well, if my first answer is really nothing, then elamai echad, I'm going to repeat my question. Elamai echad. So what's the point of telling me one witness? Echad, echad. Okay, so what does echad echad mean? Yes, one by one. What happens? Imagine there's a crime going on down here. A murder. There's a murder down there. Okay? There's a small window. I'm at this window. My friend's right here. Okay, but because it's a small window, I can see it. Oh my goodness, that guy just killed that guy. Come here. He takes a look. Now, I saw it. Okay, now he comes and he sees. But what happened? He didn't see what I saw. We're next to each other. Okay, so what do we have here? We have a situation. There are two witnesses. But the way in which we saw it was one by one. So what's the Gemara saying? What's the Gemara saying? What is the word one coming to teach us?
Unity.
Right, that if it's one by one, it doesn't matter how many witnesses there are.
If they're not at the same time, exactly.
Right, then it doesn't work. Okay? Okay. What?
You know, but see, that's the thing. Yeah, we have to remember where this all comes from. The Gemara started, when we refer to the Gemara, we call it the Torah Shebaal Peh. It's the Torah, with the oral Torah. It was an oral tradition. So, what does it mean? It means that there's a case, and in the Beis Medrash of old, before they had this stuff written down, the rabbi would come in and he would say, all right, Talmidim, students, listen up. Here's the case. There's a murder taking place down here. There's only one witness. Let's talk about it, boys. Let's talk about it. Let's figure it out. And then they get into a fight. And then they start, like a base medrash fight, a good kind of fight. And they start arguing over what's the law. So when this was recorded, that tradition was very familiar to everybody. So if they just put a couple of words, everybody knows what you're talking about. So now we're 1,500 years later. So... right, but that's why you have Gemaras now that actually fill in all these blanks. I mean, Art School does it in English. When you open up the Art School Gemara, you'll see that it's going to take the Talmudic words and it will translate them and it will put them in bold, and then everything else that it uses to fill in all the arguments or all the sentences and the explanations, they put in a regular non-bold font. But you see that when they put that in English, how it flows. Now, you can just skip from bold to bold to bold, which is just a translation of the text in the Art Scroll, and you might get a sense of the flow if you're familiar with how the Talmud works. But if you're not familiar with how the Talmud works, you have to read everything in between. And then you see, oh, well, this makes a lot of sense. And then if you actually go back to the Talmud and say, now, could I have filled in that blank on my own? And if the answer is yes, then congratulations, you're doing great as a Talmud student. If the answer is no, more work to be done. Okay, so the pinnacle of success in Talmud study is if you could theoretically be a translator of the art, for the Art Scroll to write their Talmud. Okay, if you could do that, you've arrived as a Talmud study learner. Yeah.
Could he be telling us that one at one window and one at another window is not considered?
Okay. So we're gonna. That's the next thing that the Gemara is gonna ask. Okay. So. Now, how did I know that after Echad, Echad, that it ends? Remember what Rabbi Feigenbaum told us. He said that when you get to a phrase like Tanya Nami Hachi, then that's going to be the Gemara's attempt at giving us another answer. So what is Tanya Nami Hachi? Okay, so we go back to Rabbi Feigenbaum. Turn to page 96. 96. Okay, it's 96. Yeah, 96. 96? It's not in order. I tried to do it in the order the way it was in the Gemara, but I guess somehow when it got photocopied, it went a little out of order. Okay? 96 is before 15. Okay? Okay. Tanya Nami Hachi. Now, one thing that anyone who's been paying really good attention might notice is that the first word in the phrase Tanya Nami Hachi has in it the letters Taf Nun Yud. Now Taf Nun Yud. What does Taf Nun Yud mean? What does it sound like? Okay. Now, where have we seen it before? We've seen it actually the first word on the page of the Talmud. What's that first thing? Mem Taf Nun Yud, which is an abbreviation of the word Masnisin. Mem Taf Nun Yud, Taf Nun Yud. But look at the three. Ignore the mem for a second and look at the next three letters. Taf Nun Yud. Now that, the Aramaic Taf is often interchangeable with the Hebrew Shin. So I'll use an example, a Hebrew word I think most of us know. What's the Hebrew word for the number three?
Shalosh. In the Talmud, it's going to be Talat, Taf Lamed Taf, because the Talmudic, the Aramaic, Taf is interchangeable with the Hebrew Shin. That's why when you look at this Mem Taf Nun Yud, how do I translate that into Hebrew? What have I been calling it the whole time?
Mishnah.
Because Masnisin and Mishnah, because the Taf and the Shin, the Taf and the Hebrew Shin are interchangeable. Okay, so what does the word Mishnah mean? It means to study. It means to learn something, to review it, to repeat it. So that's what the word means. So whenever you see something that has the word, the letters, Taf Nun Yud, whether it's Tani, Tanya, sometimes it's Taf Nun Vav, like Tanu Rabbanan, it means they learned. Who learned? The rabbis of the Mishnaic period. The rabbis of the Mishnaic period. Okay, now, there are different texts from the Mishnaic period. Sometimes it's a Mishnah, sometimes there's another text which is called a Braisa, and the rabbis of the Mishnaic period are called Tannoim. Taf Nun Aleph, a Tana, and the plural is Tannoim. So when you see a word like that standing by itself, whether it's Taf Nun Yud Aleph, Taf Nun Vav, it means this was taught by Tannoim, rabbis of the Mishnaic period. Sometimes it's a Mishnah, sometimes it's a Braisa, but those are just different texts from the Tannaitic period, from the rabbis of the Mishnah that were compiled. So, Tanya Nami Hachi. So what does Feigenbaum say? Tanya Nami Hachi introduces a Braita that in text or context is equivalent to what was said previously. Okay? So he gives an example which I did not... which is the previous one on the page, but he says it's structurally similar. Okay, so we don't have Tanya Kavase de Rabbi so-and-so, so we're not going to do that, but we're just going to see this. Tanya Nami Hachi. So in other words, now the Gemara is going to propose another way of understanding how the pasuk of Lo Yumas Al Pi Edecha, that a person is not put to death based on the testimony of one, how this is taught to us from a different Tannaitic text, a Braisa, which also quotes this pasuk. Okay? And this gets into what Jerry was talking about before. Tanya Nami Hachi. Okay, so we're at the end of the last thin line. Lo Yuma. Okay, so where's the pause? Where's the next piece of punctuation, folks? I don't want to give it away. Everyone should be able to get it. Okay, why? Why? Not just repeating the word Echad, but because it's the phrase. What's the phrase? The quote from the Chumash. Okay, it's a quote from the Pasuk. Okay, so Lo Yumas Al Pi Echad. So now we're four lines in to the first wide line of the Gemara. Okay, so he says, how do we learn about Lo Yumas Al Pi Echad, that you can't be put to death based on the testimony of one witness? So we just saw if there's one witness right after the other, they're together. But the problem is that they didn't see it at the same time. Therefore, they didn't see the same action. Right? One of them may have seen the act of the shooting, the striking, whatever. The other one sees the result, but that's not the same testimony. You don't see the same thing. So what's this Braisa teaching us? Let's see if we could find the next pause, folks. I'll give you a hint. Look for a repeated phrase. Okay, Mimi, you got it. Anybody else? Anybody else want to chime in? How do you know where there's a definite pause? Definite punctuation mark. No. This earlier. Okay, so Jerry, you got it also. Okay, look at the last six words on this first wide line. Echad mechalon zeh ve'echad mechalon zeh. Okay, so those are repeated phrases.
Okay.
So two things about it. Number one, after the second one, there's definitely going to be a pause. And in between them, there's definitely going to be a pause. And before the first one, because you know it's repeated, that something is going to introduce that. So what are we left with? We're left with Lahavish Naim Sheroinoso. Now, see how we've just broke that down into a phrase of four words? It's a lot easier to translate than to try to figure out a phrase of 10 words. So Lahavish Naim Sheroinoso. So Shnayim, I think most people know what Shnayim means. Shnayim is two. Sheroin, that's see, oso. So what's Lahavi? Lahavi, comes from the word to bring. So it means to bring, or to bring a clarification of the rule of two who see it. Who see what? The crime, the act. Okay. Echad mechalon zeh. Echad mechalon zeh. So what is echad mechalon zeh? Echad means one. Chalon is a window. Echad mechalon zeh. Now, the Mishnah had talked about echad mechalon zeh. So that's a repeated phrase from Mishnah. So what's the case, folks? We have one guy in this window. We have a crime down here. We have another guy in this window. They're each seeing the crime. Same time. However, what's the next thing Gemara says? Look at the next line. Ve'ein ro'in zeh et zeh. Which means that they don't see each other. Zeh et zeh means this and this. You should know, by the way, that's actually, I'll just take a very brief aside. We're all familiar with that phrase because we say it in Kiddush all the time. Right? Vikara, Zelzeh, Vimar. So what's the correct pronunciation, punctuation for that phrase? Is it Vikara, Zeh? Pause. Elzeh, Vimar. Or is it Vikara, Zelzeh, Vimar? So sometimes the chazan goes like this. Vikara, Zeh, Elzeh, Vimar. Wrong. Okay, Vikara means, because Zeh el Zeh means one another. Okay? As opposed to Zeh el Zeh, this one to this one. So Zeh el Zeh means to one another. So when we talk about it, angels who are praising God, Vikara, and each one calls Zeh el Zeh, one to the other, but they're all, in other words, there are a lot of angels doing it. They're all saying Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. So that's the correct punctuation. Vikara, Zeh el Zeh, Vi'amar. So that's just a little fun aside. But here, ve'ein ro'in zeh zeh, and one another, they don't see each other. So what's the rule? Are there two witnesses? Yes. Are they together? They are not. And so what's the word echad coming to teach us?
And it's still one witness.
Okay, meaning in the pasuk, that lo yumas al pi eid echad, even if there are two witnesses, but it's eid echad and...
separate.
And eight echad. Okay,
but they could see different.
If they see each other, it's angles.
If they see each other, then they're two. But if they didn't, that's the point. Ein ro'en zeh zeh, she'ein mitzdarfin. That they do not combine. They don't join.
But they both still could be seeing different angles. One could see the arm, and one could see the back of the person.
It doesn't matter, because as long as they're not combined, because they're unaware of each other's presence. He's an Eid Echad, and therefore, lo yumas al pi Eid Echad. He's an Eid Echad, lo yumas al pi Eid Echad. Can't put to death, and they don't combine. Okay, and that's, and the point is that the Gemara had a problem with the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, based on two witnesses, you put to death, not based on one. What do you mean? Thank you. Duh. Well, here you have two witnesses, but each witness is one. Okay, so that's the point. And so therefore, what the Gemara is telling us is that doesn't count. Velo od, Ella. Hold on, did I give you this? Hold on a second. I just want to see if I gave you. Did I give you Ella?
Therefore?
No, I didn't. Okay, I gave you Ella Mai and Ella Miata. Okay, so we didn't do that. Velo od, Ella. Not only that, Ella. Afilu bezeh achar zeh b'chalon echad ein mitzdarfin. Okay, so we already saw that. Okay, we saw that. That's the phrase that says, even if you do one after the other, in one window they don't combine. Okay, but that's the, again, this is all a quote from the Brisa. So what did this Brisa come to teach us? The Brisa taught us a lot of what we saw before, but it had an additional piece of information in it. That if you have, that they are both seeing the same thing. And at the same time. But the problem is that they're not together because they don't know about each other. So that's what the word echad is coming to teach us. The second part of the braisa we already knew because we saw that in the Gemara before. So now we're going to go on to the next one, the last part. Okay. Amar le rav papa la abaye. Okay, so now how do I know that that's the end of a phrase? Because I'm familiar with the fact that name, Abaye, is the name of a rabbi from the Gemara, which what's called in the Gemara, an Amora. rabbis from the Mishnah period and the Braisa period are called Tanoim, and the rabbis from the Gemara are called Amoraim. So Amar Le Rav Papa, Rav Papa says to Abaye, Hashta. Hashta, can I give you Hashta? I don't remember right here. Hashta. No, I did not. Okay.
What's the
show? Oh, but I gave you the next one. Okay, Uma. Hashta means now. Okay, so that you would look that up in the Oh, okay. So you would look right. Hashata. That's a good point. Okay, it's the same. Let's see, you were familiar with that from the Haggadah. So let me see. You look it up in what's this guy? In Dr. Jastrow's dictionary. You go to page A, Shin, Tuf A, Aleph rather, and he says Hashta comes from Hashata, like Jimmy said, and it means now. Sometimes it means now, indeed. Okay, but now we get to the next phrase. Uma. Uma. Okay. If you go back one page.
And what?
Yeah, go back one page. Okay? Go back one page. Okay, you see Uma towards the bottom. It's page 48 in his pagination. Everybody with me? Uma. Uma means and what? Or freely, it means it would be read and just like. So it should be on the back of the page of the Gemara. Unless your copy is a little different. Uma is used in constructing either a ma'af or a kal v'chomer comparison. See both these terms for full outline of the structure. Okay. Basically, it means just like in such and such case. So certainly in such and such case, a similar ruling would apply. So let's take a look. Where are we going to put our pause, folks? Okay, so we have again the repeated phrase. Uma echad mechalon zeh ve'echad mechalon zeh. Just like in the case, or as it's clearly the case when you have one in one window and one in another window. Dahai kachazich kulo maisa v'hai kachazich kulo maisa. See again, you have repeated phrases. Hai ka chazi kulo maisa. The hai ka chazi kulo maisa. So some of these words you'd have to look up. Chazi means to see. That's the Aramaic words for see. Maybe you've heard of the Chose of Lublin, a very famous Hasidic rabbi. The Chose, the seer of Lublin. Okay? So hai means this one, ka chazi sees. Kulo maisa, the kulo maisa, the whole thing. So in a situation where you have one guy in one window and one guy in another window, where they both see everything, Amrit lo mitztarfei, you say they don't combine, then certainly it's the case. Bezeh achar zeh, that's a phrase which we're familiar with. When you have one seeing after the other, where's the next phrase, folks? Where's the next break, rather? I'm in the fifth line after bezeh achar zeh. The next word is dahai. See if you could find where a good pause would be. After that, after you have lo mitztarfei bezeh achar zeh, now we're up to the word dahai. Find the next good pause. How do you know?
It's repeated.
What's repeated?
The same word, the same phrase.
Correct. Well, folks, read the rest of that entire line. Dehai chazei palga demaisa, v'hai chazei palga demaisa. It's the same phrase twice. Okay, so in the case where you have two people, one at each window seeing everything, they're both seeing everything, but they just don't see each other if they don't combine. So he says, certainly in a case of bezach ar zeh, when you have one after the other. Now let's translate this phrase. The high chazei palga demaisa. The high, that this one, chazei, sees, palga demaisa. Palga, so that's the tough word. Palga means half, part. Plag ha-mincha, that's halfway between mincha katana and shkia. And sunset. Plag means half. You divide something in half. So one guy sees half of the act, and the other guy sees half of the act. Mibaye. Mibaya means we need it. In other words, we need to learn that in that situation as well, that they certainly don't combine if each of them sees a half an act. So the question is, what, is there never a situation, or could there be a case where maybe each one sees half an act and we can make the argument that they're all, that they're seeing the same thing?
Not in a
murder, but maybe there's a different type of crime.
You don't need two witnesses.
No. You need two witnesses. Maybe there's a different type of crime that might take a little longer than the shooting of a bullet. Okay? You don't have to look very far today. You look at a headline to see what's going on in the news in the world. And that's what the Gemara says. Amarlei, he says to him, I'm on the second line, which Aleph apostrophe Lamed. Lo nitzricha, we need to learn this, or it's not needed, Ella, except for leboel es ha'erva, for somebody who is having an illicit relations. Well, there's a man who's having relations with a woman with whom he's not allowed to, and sometimes that act takes more than half a second. So one guy sees it, and then the other guy steps aside, the other guy, and they're still engaged in the act. So, well, what's the rule? They're both seeing it.
Those two witnesses are acceptable.
Well, that's the question. That's the question. So lo nitzricha, in other words, lo nitzricha means it's not necessary, except to teach us that in that kind of case, it's also not considered.
It's not.
Right? You might think that it is. Why? Because the act is still going on. Okay? Still doesn't work. Okay, that's... Right. Okay? So I only wanted to get to that point because to show you how the Gemara thinks. The Gemara gives you different types of cases. Yeah, we're talking about a murder. So we all understand a murder. That's instantaneous, right? A guy swings a sword. A guy shoots an arrow. A guy shoots a bullet. We understand that act takes half a second. One guy sees it, the other guy's not going to see it. But there are crimes which could take longer, right? I mean, if somebody's beating somebody up, maybe we're not seeing every strike that's going on. But this guy, I see a beating, but we're not seeing the same beating, right?
And you may not see who started it.
Okay, right. Okay, fine. Okay, I mean, presumably with the case that the Gemara just gave us, you know, and there's nobody else around, you kind of figure it out. As opposed to a murder, which, you know, like it could be a shooter from somewhere else, and you don't even see it at all. Right? That could happen. Of course, this act.
No 2 seconds are alike.
No 2 seconds are alike. Correct. And with a murder, it's a harder case to make if you didn't actually see it. Whereas with this, it's very hard to if you're seeing it a second apart, to imagine that there's another person involved. I mean, it only takes two to tangle in that kind of case.
And you're only talking about murder. They're not talking about, they don't go into manslaughter or any of the other types of killing.
No, indirect, right. Well, I mean, whatever the act may be. Right. No, I mean, listen, manslaughter is a different conversation anyway, because the whole point of murder is that it's by design and that there's intent. And as we discussed the first week when we were looking at this, there has to be a warning where they say to the guy, hey, you're not allowed to do that. And he says, I don't care, I'm going to do it anyway. So that's another kind of situation. Okay, anyway, the point is, so what have we seen today? It's not, what we're doing here is not an exercise about learning the specifics of the case. If we get that, that's beautiful. The point is to see how the Gemara operates. It asks questions, it gives the answers, it gives challenges, it tries to come up with an answer. Sometimes the answer the Gemara gives seems so nonsensical to us because we already know the answer. Like when it says, if you're going to tell me that it means that you can't have one person put together, well, I already know that. Like, we already knew that, right? We knew that from the question. But you have to go through the process, because the process trains our mind to think the way that the people of the Gemara thought. So hopefully what we've seen tonight is, again, we're looking for the repeated phrases. We're looking for places to put the punctuation. And I can't build our vocabulary any better than any way you build any kind of vocabulary. You read a newspaper, you don't know what the words mean. What do? You have a dictionary at your side.
Aramaic dictionary.
Right, this is an Aramaic to English dictionary. So you have to have the right tools to be able to navigate it. Yes, Jeff?
What's the point of repeating the phrase? What's that supposed to signify?
Well, I mean, it depends on what the Gemara is doing.
In this particular...
No, in this case, what the Gemara is doing is it's just showing you that there's a person in this place and there's a person in this place. So just like I would say, there's a person over here and there's a person over here, instead of saying there's a person in each spot, I'm showing you the distinction between person over here and person over here, and that's what the repeated phrases are doing. Now, it's not always that the Gemara is doing that. Sometimes it's just repeating a phrase that we've seen already, and that helps us just understand where a punctuation mark is to be placed. Like when it quotes the pasuk, it's not trying to repeat the pasuk for the sake of repeating the pasuk. It's repeating because it's important to the question that it's asking. I already know this because the pasuk told me. When did the pasuk tell me? I just saw it a second ago in the Gemara. But in the answer, it's going to say, I already know this because the pasuk told me this before. Everyone remembers the pasuk, right? Here's the pasuk. I'll repeat it. So it's not because the Gemara by design is trying to repeat things, but that's a hint for us, the novice reader, to look for it so that I can know where to place a punctuation mark so that when I'm going to try to work a little backwards and figure out what each phrase means and how it works into the flow of the Gemara's dialogue, I'll have an easier time making my way through it. Yes?
What I don't understand is, if two individuals see it at the same time, it's independent. Seeing the same thing. It's not like we both saw it and talked, oh, look what this guy did. Mm-hmm. And they were one next to the other.
Right. So what? So what?
They both saw it at the same time, but they consult with each other and say the way it was.
Right. So what the Gemara is teaching us here is that for witnesses to be strong enough witnesses to be able to convict in whatever manner a conviction needs to come through, they need to be grouped. They need to have been in the same place at the same time, seeing as a combined unit. And that's what we're learning. Alpi Shnayim Edim. And what's the definition of Shnayim Edim? Two people who are aware of each other and who, in that sense, were together. At that time, it doesn't matter that what happened when JFK was killed. Well, this one thinks the grassy knoll. This one thinks Lee Harvey Oswald. This one thinks this. Everybody was there. They all saw it, but they can't put together a case. And maybe they can. I don't know.
But you're saying two witnesses are aware of each other, yet they saw the act from a different viewpoint. They may have seen something different. Each one, even though they're aware of each other.
No, but it's saying that
they may have seen a different aspect.
That's true. That's true. They could have seen different things. But if they're both saying, I saw this guy take a knife with his right hand and he stabbed the guy in the heart. Ah, you saw it from the left and you saw it from the right. Yeah, but it was one guy and another guy and I saw this. So, you know, I mean, I don't know that it's so much about the angle as much as it's about complete corroboration and the idea of they're coming into court knowing that they're a unit.
They could have seen each other.
Right. Well, that's the point. Okay.
Let me ask you, how can you tell to which are the Tanam and which are